Now, the benefits that we have here, the first benefit that he mentions here is in verse 1, and I want to take them up, ad seriatim, let me say. That is, one after another. There are 8 benefits in all. Now, let me note this first one. He says here in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. And let me pause there a moment. And that means by one act of faith, the moment that we trust Christ. And then he goes on, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible mentions several kinds of peace. There's world peace. And the United Nations has worked at it as the old League of Nations did. They didn't get anywhere in the past, and they're not getting anywhere today. And right now, a great many people believe that if you protest hard enough, that you're going to bring peace in the world, and that you can do it by human manipulation, psychological gyrations. Well, my friend, as long as there's sin in the hearts of men, there'll never be peace in the world. Not until the Prince of Peace comes, and he'll bring peace on the earth, but that's not the kind of peace that Paul is talking about here. Then there is that peace that's known as tranquility of soul. That is the peace the Lord Jesus mentioned when he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. That's John 14:27. That is a peace that comes to certain believers who have trusted Christ. I don't think all of us have experienced it. And it's to those who are not only resting on him, but have committed their life to him and are doing his will. I wish today that I could say to you that I've experienced this peace all the time. I'm sorry, I do not. I suppose I'm like most of you. I have up and down experiences. There are times when this peace floods my soul and it's wonderful. I recognize, though, that it's available for the believer. But I find that sometimes that when we're under tension, when we're under pressure, when we're weary, that peace somehow or another eludes us. And we do not experience it. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. Then there is the third kind of peace that Paul mentions in the 4th chapter of Philippians, the peace that passeth all understanding. Well, since it passes all understanding, I certainly don't know what it is. But the peace he's talking about here, he makes it very clear what it is. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the peace that comes to a soul when he's trusted Christ as Savior, and he knows that God no longer has any charge against him, and he's no longer guilty, and that God now, who had to be against him, is now for him, and that he has a salvation that's permanent and eternal. That's the peace that comes because of sins forgiven. And everything's right between you and God because of what? Well, you'll notice that again and again, Paul mentions the fact that we have peace through the blood of his cross. That means that everything is all right between our soul and God. And that's a wonderful peace. Now, this was explained to me many years ago as a young man in my teens. And the thing that was given to me by a wonderful pastor is that when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, not only did man run away from God and found himself alienated from the life of God and actually was an enemy of God, and he had no capacity for God or no inclination to turn to God, but actually a holy God had to turn away from the sinner. And what actually happened was that when Christ died on the cross, God turned around. And now a holy God can say to a lost sinner, come. His arms are outstretched and he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll rest you. This is the peace that comes, the rest of redemption. We speak today of this great subject of reconciliation. Now, you don't have to do anything to reconcile God, as we've seen. A great many people today think you have to shed tears. I told you about an evangelist friend, and he is great, I think, as an evangelist, but he loves to get people to weep. Well, friends, tears won't soften the heart of God. I say to this evangelist friend of mine, how many tears do you have to shed to soften God's heart? 12 tears? Well, then 11 won't do. You better squeeze out that last tear. But thank God it's not essential. You don't have to do anything to reconcile God. That's what Christ did for you on the cross. God is reconciled today, and the message of the gospel is, be ye reconciled to God, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now, when you come to Him and accept His salvation, then you can experience that peace that your sins have been forgiven. Now, friends, that's a glorious, wonderful experience that can come to the child of God. Now, that's the first wonderful benefit. And believe me, there are a great many people that pillow their head at night that don't know what it is to have peace in their hearts. And how many weary souls that are laboring with a guilt complex, they would love to go somewhere to have the guilt removed from their souls. A Christian psychologist told me several years ago, he says the only place that you can have that guilt complex removed is at the cross of Christ.